This is New England Public Radio News. Deadly, fast-moving wildfires in Northern California have been burning for days now. 70 years ago, on the East Coast, this same time of year, wildfires burned over hundreds of miles in Maine, wiping out towns and forever changing the landscape. New England Public Radio's Jill Kaufman reports.
A painting that hangs inside the front hallway of a small museum in the center of Kennebunk, Maine, shows a night sky in the distance filled with fire. Town historian Steve Spofford says it's an accurate depiction of the 1947 fires that swept around the state.
You could hear the roar of the fire, and of course, she depicts it well here.
The painting is by Edith Cleaves Barry, who founded the Brickstore Museum in the 1930s. Trucks that might have been used for crops or hay rides are piled high with furniture and the belongings of families evacuating. Another image on the canvas is a church illuminated. Spofford says this one and others were open 24/7 for firefighters. It's where they ate and slept.
And the firehouse, which was just around the corner from us here, was the headquarters for the Maine Forest Service and for the firefighting, to tell people that were coming in from all over where they needed to go to fight the fire.
Simultaneous fires were raging out of control along the coast from Portland to Acadia and inland. In Kennebunkport, on Goose Rocks Beach, a beautiful ocean inlet a few miles from town, three generations of Spofford family members escaped with their lives, including 70-year-old great-aunt Olive Emmons, who at first refused to leave her home because it was hard to imagine how the fires could touch her when she lived right on the water, next to a river and the ocean.
She left the morning of the fire. By 6 o'clock that night, the fire had rolled into Goose Rocks and completely destroyed it.
Over 10 days, more than 200,000 acres of Maine burned, including about half the acreage of Acadia National Park. 2,500 people were left homeless. 9 towns were gone. Remarkably, Spofford says, only 15 people died.
In the coastal areas, a lot of people had already left for the winter. If this had happened in July or August, there would have been more deaths.
Maine was having a serious drought in the months leading up to October 1947. No one was unduly alarmed. The crops were good, the summer tourism season had been great, and everyone assumed the autumn rains would come just like they did every year. Then, in the first week of that October, the Maine Forest Service began to get calls about some small fires not far from Kennebunk in York and Cumberland counties. They were put out. Other small fires were reported, and months of drought made tinder out of a state that was and still is almost 90% forest.
An interview with Charlotte Stewart of Bar Harbor, who was one of the telephone operators who stayed in town.
In the late 1970s, historian Joyce Butler conducted interviews with fire survivors. The recordings are at the University of Maine in Orono.
It could have been the light shining on a bottle.
Butler's book, Wild Fire Loose, The Week Maine Burned, is seen as the definitive account of the 1947 fires. In this interview, Charlotte Stewart describes to Butler what she saw.
Suddenly erupted from the ground, and everybody thought, well, just a forest fire, you know, but the trees were so dry that it just, there was no stopping it. And the fire department at that time was not equal to it. They did not know how to handle underground fires. They've learned since, believe me.
The fire would seem to die down, Stewart goes on to say. Then it would cross the road and pop up somewhere else. And then a live cinder hit the roof of her brother-in-law's dairy barn.
And my brother was working with him at the time, and everybody yelled, run for your lives.
The barn burnt to the ground. Butler's book inspired popular novelist Anita Shreve to write her most recent novel, The Stars Are Fire. Shreve spoke to New Hampshire Public Radio.
There was a detail that stuck in my mind about how some of the women and men had to go into the sea to save themselves.
And of course, the scary part, all the rats that were running to get to the ocean. And they came under the blankets with them as they were sitting in the surf.
In his car, Steve Spofford drives around Goose Rocks Beach, pointing out where houses used to be. Spofford's mother-in-law gave him Shreve's book. He hasn't read it yet. With the anniversary and a lot of speaking engagements this month, he doesn't want to mix up fact with fiction.
But if you do see an older house, you know that the family probably stayed with it and tried to save it.
When you look around this picturesque town, it's hard to imagine so much fear and loss, and then years of people rebuilding their lives and cleaning up the debris. which is how Spofford, born about 20 years after the fires, spent some of his youth.
Where the stake is right there, my father owned all this land to the right.
What's grown up in place of the acres of Maine pine that burned down to ash are mostly birch and aspen trees.
And I don't know if we can see anything.
Spofford pulls over, and he spends a few moments looking through the windshield, and then he gets out of the car.
We're in luck. That is a piece of the tree.
He's found some treasure, a piece of wood left over from the 1947 fires. It goes into the trunk of his car, another artifact for the museum. Steve Spofford says the fires could happen again, like they do out west. And he said that weeks before the deadliest fire in California's history began, not that far from the Pacific Ocean. For New England Public Radio, I'm Jill Kaufman.